Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is sort of going to be the retro show, but just kind of like a general overview. We don't really have anything too specific retro to talk about. It's kind of a general look back on the N64 and the 90s. I got a few topics I don't want to get to, but you know, we're going to let this conversation go wherever we feel like. Okay. We can talk about anything we want.
Yeah.
Usually what we do on retro shows is we look back on N64 games as they came out 21 years ago. We kind of go through semi-chronologically. Let me rephrase. There are a few games that came out around December of 99 that are going to be worth talking about, but, the cartridges are not cheap, so I'm banking them for another time. I do have a game that I think is, worth bringing up. And that is Castlevania Legacy of Darkness.
Symphony of the Night.
That'd be so great. Oh. I'd love to be able to talk about that game. Konami, what, you know, if they still make games, they should put it on Switch.
I don't think they do. I think it's mostly...
I thought they're a camera company. Oh, no, that's Kodak.
Yeah. Konami's a pachinko machine company now.
Kodak's a bear, though. Never mind.
So Konami, back when they made games, they made Castlevania Legacy of Darkness for the N64, and it's an expanded and remastered version of Castlevania 64, which is a game we talked about just about a year ago, because it came out in 98 in December on the N64. And this is kind of a weird thing that they did, because they took a game that had already been released, and they started adding back in content that had been cut before they originally published it, because like they're running short on time.
Yeah.
And this is the sort of thing that they would like update in a patch. Like if they're releasing a game like this now, they'd just like release content afterwards and charge you for it.
Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, they'd have a Game of the Year edition.
These guys are way ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Konami ripping people off.
Very forward thinking. They're gonna charge you for this game twice.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just so odd because, well, what they did is they add in basically another campaign, because when they originally designed in the game, there was this character called Cornell, who is a lycanthrope. He is a sort of a werewolf character.
Who also went to Cornell.
Yes, thank you for that. and he was cut from the game, as I mentioned before, and then they put him, but he was in like all this press information before the game, like early on in the game's development, you know, when it was announced. But then when the game actually came out, he was not in there. So they put him back in this Legacy of Darkness edition, and they have new levels and redesigned levels featuring this character. He's got his own campaign that's supposed to be this backstory to the main goings-on of the game. Like, the main Castlevania 64 game is still intact on this cartridge, but you kind of like have this A-side and B-side to the storyline.
Oh, kind of like what they did with like Resident Evil 4.
With the Ada?
Yeah, with like the Ada quest.
Yeah, a little
line.
Bit. Well, yeah, pretty similar to that.
Or like Little Nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the kid that gets Ian.
Yeah, with spoilers. But this character, Cornell, he is kind of a melee striker, whereas the main character, his name is Reinhardt, attacks with the vampire killer Whip. He actually turn into a vampire, or not a vampire, you can turn into a werewolf as his character. It drains your special meter. So, you know, when it turns zero, you turn back into your human form. The game also supports the RAM expansion, which Castlevania 64 did not. So you can have a higher resolution version of the game. It does have some negative effects on frame rate by most accounts that I've been seeing. So you do have that sort of sacrifice that you're making for higher resolution for the lower frame rate. There's also some improved camera functionality. They did a weird thing where they changed the lock-on mechanic. The lock-on mechanic was, I thought, one of the better features of Castlevania 64, which is a game that I kind of liked. I thought that game was all right. And what they ended up doing with this lock-on feature is, in Castlevania 64, you hit the lock-on button, and it pretty much just targets the closest enemy to you, no matter like their kind of directional relationship to you. But in Legacy of Darkness, they kind of change it to where it has to be in front of you or like within your immediate view. So like if there's an enemy attacking from behind, you can't lock onto them. Kind of a strange way to change this up. It was a feature that wasn't broken, so I don't know why they went around altering it. But anyway, Such a weird situation. It's very, very strange that they would go around changing this game at this point, you know? So, at this point, I wanted to actually go through the rankings one more time before we close out 1999 for discussion, but I can't find the rankings anymore, so...
Oh, good.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. I have them somewhere, either on this computer or on my work computer.
Or on a previous podcast.
Yeah, or I can just listen to an older podcast where we go through all, like, 30-plus games that we've ranked.
It's gone forever.
Oh, that's it.
I think the last couple times that we've done a recap of it, we just did the top 15 games.
Right, because, like, once we get past that, like, we don't need to really address where Tetrisphere is supposed to be.
And, you know, surprise, surprise, we all know what's the bottom.
Yeah, it's Turok.
Yeah.
Yep.
To that one guy in the Discord that liked that game.
Most of the guys in the Discord group like Turok.
Really?
It's so strange.
I mean, I think the thing is that Turok is, like, a memorable game from the N64. People just say, like, what games do you remember from the N64?
Sure.
It's probably, like, GoldenEye, Mario 64, and Turok.
I mean, I'd probably put it like maybe the top 20 of recognizable games.
Yeah, that's all I mean to say.
Yeah.
Recognizable games.
Yeah.
But good games, no.
Because I don't think yeah. like you talk to like the casual N64 player from back in the day, they're like going to rattle off like, oh yeah, GoldenEye and Mario Kart. I don't think that they're then like following up with Tetrisphere or Dark Rift or Killer Instinct. Like yeah. They're probably, yeah, Turok's going to be higher up on the recognizable list than those are. Yeah. No one's going to be gushing about how great Gex was.
Right.
But how are you guys feeling about the N64 so far?
Well, if we had the rankings, I'd feel a little better.
Yeah.
I can't fully...
Yeah, it's true.
I've had fun with the games I've played. All in all, I'm going to say I'm let down.
Mm.
I remember being, going back a couple of years now, really excited to dig into the N64 catalog. And then I'm finding that there's not a lot of diversification in the library of games that they have. They're, like, really locked into the whole polygonal thing. They really feel like they need to service that 3D environment in all their games. So no matter what it is, it all kind of starts to blend together. That said, there's still a ton of really fun games on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mario 64 is a fantastic game that really holds up. It still looks great. It's surprising that the controls don't suck.
Mm.
You know, we played so many games where we kind of have to give it a pass just because the controls are very difficult or they're not intuitive, you know. But just to name some games, like, there's that. Obviously, there's two great Zelda games on it. There's Resident Evil 2. You get your Resident Evil 2, even though it's not an official game from them. Did you get through your 10,000 quest objectives for Donkey Kong?
Well, I sure did not. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, see, that's one, and I think that to your point about things kind of blending together, is that, you know, you do have the standouts, like your Mario and your Zelda and Resident Evil, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, and the standouts are really, really good, and the standouts do a lot to either redefine what genres are in a three-dimensional space, or they refine an already existing genre to a console space where they could not exist before. Like your first-person shooters, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, are these really great first-person shooters. Yeah. Didn't invent the genre, but they took something that was very PC exclusive, kind of shut it off in that space, and then brought it into the console space. Like, this is how you make these things work here.
Yeah.
And
again, you also get a Doom game. You get a unique Doom game made strictly for the console. You'll eventually get ports of the Quake games, so...
I think we talked about a couple of them already.
So,
Quake 2, Hexen.
Hexen is fantastic. I think it's just that it's so different than what I remember of Super Nintendo.
Oh, sure.
Because Super Nintendo was just sort of dabbling in the... Hey, Doom was on Super Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
Like, for real, it was there. It exists. You could play it. It was a 3D game, right? You know, very primitive, but yeah, sure enough, you could. But then you also have this whole, like, just kaleidoscope of genres of games that You know, you get all of this beautiful pixel art and all this beautiful music. Not to say that, you know, I'm sure there's wonderful music that came from the N64, but... Yeah, it feels a little monochromatic, feels a little one-dimensional.
To your point about the Super Nintendo is... You had, when we had the Super Nintendo 91 till about, 96, 97, you had, this space beforehand, all of, the mid to late 80s, where you have the sort of codification of what games are and what sort of genres they exist in. And then once you get to the Super Nintendo, we figured all this stuff out. Now we have all this extra stuff to work with. We can make these really, really refined experiences. And then when you hit the N64, for a lot of developers, you're again hitting the reset button, now figure it all out again. And that's where you get some of that sameness you were talking about with there's a lot of in the N64, those 3D platformers where, if you take out the main character and kind of show a screenshot, you're probably going to struggle to recognize which one is which. And the sort of mechanics of it, Banjo-Kazooie is a different game from Donkey Kong, is a different game from Mario 64, but Mario 64 is the standout just in the way it gives you the freedom of what mechanics you're using where, whereas Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong 64 is very much these are very specific cases where you need to use these moves, and they sometimes have these really esoteric ways of pulling them off. Hey, you have to switch around and ride around the burr like it's an ostrich now, but you have to hold down this button and tap this button, and you have a limited time, and go collect your golden feathers too, because that's your currency.
Yeah.
So there's a sort of an elegance to the standout games that really it's just impressive how it's seemingly the most refined games also came out first. If you're going to copy something, copy that. But then all the stuff that kind of gets muddled in the middle is not directly copying the stuff that's the best.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how do you feel about the N64? I think you were the youngest of us when this thing came out.
There wasn't much I was even playing at the time. So, I was just a wee little lad, so it was...
You were toddling at the time, right?
Exactly. It was Ocarina of Time.
He was 22.
22.
Yeah. I was Ocarina of Time, Bomberman 64, GoldenEye. I played all these games. I have very fond memories of them. Nowadays, I can't play them. I don't think they're good anymore. I just can't really...
No, Ocarina of Time's still good.
Ocarina of Time's still good. I take that one back. I apologize. That is still a good game. But GoldenEye, I'm not going to play through the campaign of GoldenEye again.
I tried. Yeah. I know GoldenEye is of all the first-person shooters I've played on the N64 so far, GoldenEye, I think, holds up the best, just mechanically speaking. I think they come the closest just to replicating what dual analog controls, or I guess predicting what dual analog controls would eventually become.
Because
instead of having, you pretty much have your navigation and your strafing with your C buttons. But so here, I'll pose this question to you guys now. If you had the disposable income in 1996, would you go with a PlayStation or an N64? I'm not going to give Saturn as an option. I know neither of you are going to pick Saturn.
At the time, I lived it. I had my Super Nintendo, and I would clock... I probably played fucking hundreds of hours playing fucking NHL 97. If I had the money, no. And what I did spend most of my time playing was PC games. I was always a PC gamer when I was in the 90s. That was my thing.
I spent a lot of time playing PC games as well, which we talked about, over the past several years, like Command & Conquer, Age of Empires, all or StarCraft, all these RTSs. But
yeah,
I was still I was not exclusive PC gaming. Still,
Resident Evil 2.
Had N64.
I told you Resident Evil 2 is one of my all-time favorite games. I know that game from PC. That's how I played it.
What about US?
N64. I just had N64, and then eventually got my PS1.
Would you still make the same choice? You still go N64 over PlayStation?
I can't remember what came out during that time. I have no idea what came out on the PlayStation at that time.
PlayStation, by the time you get to 1999, you have all of the final. I think Final Fantasy IX was 2000. But you got the other Final Fantasy. You got Final Fantasy Tactics, Chrono Cross, if you're into that sort of thing. All these anthologies. You got the breadth of RPGs. And for me, what the N64 is really lacking is just any sort of role-playing game. They don't exist.
Like a legitimate RPG. Yeah.
Quest 64 does not count. And that's what the PlayStation has. It has like all of these Japanese developers jump ship. Konami, Square, Capcom. Like, we just discussed the first Capcom game that came out on N64 last month.
Yeah.
The Capcom, and Wes, you weren't here for this. We talked about Resident Evil 2 for quite some time. Capcom made two N64 games.
Oh my god.
It was Resident Evil 2 and then Mega Man Legends.
Oh god.
And that was that. That's it. I think Konami was present a little bit earlier. Of course, you know, we talked about Castlevania and Castlevania 64. But just the effort that they're putting into this system is minuscule compared to what's happening on the PlayStation. And the, like, the breadth of genre, because the PlayStation kind of exists in this funny space where it's not as capable of producing polygonal graphics in some sense as the N64 is kind of referred to as like as a 32-bit system. But just like the fact that you have like the discs and the space that's afforded to you as opposed to using a cartridge allows you to kind of like fudge it a little bit. I think Final Fantasy IX is probably one of the better looking games of both N64 and PlayStation.
Yeah.
Just like the breadth of software and the fact that it exists in this sort of like space where not everything has to be polygonal. You can still have 2D games and have them, you know, not kind of like be shoved to the side as this archaic thing of the past on the PlayStation with like Symphony of the Night. It's just a more flexible system in general. I mean, that said, I would have gone with the N64.
I will go on PlayStation.
Yeah?
Yeah, now that you're popping these Crash Bandicoot.
Well, now that I think about it, I burned all my games on PC.
Yeah.
I pirated a lot of software
on PC. Oh, it was such an interesting time, so, too.
Because maybe that, I would go N64.
that was the time where, like, I think it was, like, Apple themselves made, like, essentially an emulator, and you could just, like, put PlayStation discs into an Apple computer and play them, and Sony, like, lost their shit. And it's one of the, like the earliest that I can recall sort of situations where there's a sort of a legal assessment of what emulators were and how like the whole ecosystem was going to develop, because Apple did this thing and Sony's like, hey, cut that out. And then they went to court and the court said like, nah, they're fine. They can do that. And then Sony was like, well, fuck you. And then couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of the really earliest days of emulation. You know, it wasn't an emulator in the way that we think of them now. Is there's like these programs that you download to boot up ROMs.
Maybe this is how I fix Cyberpunk 2077. Because I have the PS4 version. Maybe I need to get some cap.
You find a PC that can just emulate it, just like boot it up off.
Yeah, I just pop my disc in that and just, you know.
Jeez. Isn't that already the solution, though? Like, doesn't it run significantly better on
PC?
PCs, gaming PCs?
I mean, the system, it was made for PS5.
It was made for PS4.
Yeah.
The PS5
version
is even...
And then they pushed
it to 5, yeah. Well, and it's still running the previous gen version on PS5. The quote-unquote PS5 version is something that's going to be updated into it later. This is a mess.
This is a retro show. This is a retro show. That is a fucking mess.
And this is a moment in history.
Yeah.
CD Projekt Red really screwed the pooch on this one. And this is what people are going to remember this game for, is for when it was
21 launched. Years from now, we're going to be talking about how this game flopped so hard.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Hyrule Warriors,
this
Age
is
of
No
Calamity,
Man's Sky 2.
And CD Projekt Red fucking this up royally. Yeah. Mika will be hosting by then, so we'll just be the peanut gallery.
You better get those girls in the game, man. Get them old enough so we can...
So we can retire.
Podcast with them. Yeah.
And we can just cash those Amazon royalty checks, let them do all the work.
That's good, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd still go with N64 with all that said, because Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. Like, I wouldn't
I think Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time would really be the two games that I would miss. I think I'm pretty good without everything else.
Yeah.
Even Mario 64 included. I think I'm pretty good without everything else, but Ocarina of Time and Majora's would hurt.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we play Pokemon and we make fun of Digimon. Right? Like we like the brand. Let's face it.
Yeah.
We're Dr. Pepper drinkers here.
Yeah.
We're not fucking around with Pib.
Oh, no, I drink both.
You charlatan.
You monster. You charlatan. You maniac.
Coward.
I mix them in the same cup. And
it's fucking terrible.
You know, make sure you get all the fizz out so you're just drinking syrup.
Listener, listener, he doesn't mean it. He's lying to you. No, but seriously, like, you know, it's I feel nostalgia whenever I see Link. Just fucking seeing the guy makes me happy. You know? I don't give a fuck about PlayStation.
Crash Bandicoot, you know, like Spyro the Dragon.
It doesn't. Yeah, I don't look a little hard, but
God, dude, yeah. Add Spyro to Smash.
Oh, fuck you! No, you motherfucker.
It says Sephiroth. Let's get Spyro in here.
That'd we went in this whole tirade last show about how we didn't want any more people in Smash, and you're like, no, Spyro.
It's just Spyro. But that would fit.
Sephiroth's a Final Fantasy character.
No, actually, yes. Spyro wouldn't fit. That's Mark. Yeah, that Spyro wouldn't fit.
Did you imagine like Spyro versus Ridley?
That'd be funny.
You know what? I want the two Contra dudes.
Oh, that'd be great.
Both guys, same time. Each one is on a different joystick.
Bill and Lance.
Yeah.
Oh, that would work. That'd be cool.
It's really cool. Ice Climbers. Oh, maybe they actually control just like Ice Climbers. And, like, every once in a while, the items fly by and you get to pick up your different guns. So maybe, like, double laser Contra guy is the best guy or something.
It would definitely be the best Contra game that's come out in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah, like, so what's the deal with Sephiroth?
He's that long-haired dude from Final Fantasy VII. Got an equally long sword.
He's the one that Cloud was fucking?
Yeah. Yeah, there's fan art. You can go find it.
He's just copying.
I've seen it.
I mean, me and Wes talked about it. We kind of just gave it the shrug. Like, it's fine. I'm not really invested in Smash Brothers all that much, so.
I mean, let's face it. When you've got a roster that deep, you kind of get a couple of weirdos. Mm. You get a couple of things that are just like, all right, that's fine. And I'm sure it's popular. Like, I'm sure it's, like, there's a lot of people that like that character or something.
You know what they should do?
He's got a sword.
They need to add a trophy. You know those character trophies that they do as items?
The assists?
Yeah. Mm. And it needs to be the random dinosaur from the Mario level that just jumps out of the lava. Oh, it's got that hey you guys face.
Yeah, I just thought of that. The wonky teeth.
Yeah, they need that as a as a trophy.
Surprise! Hey you guys!
Oh,
baby Ruth!
Wait,
where are we?
How much longer is the N64 going to go for, though? This isn't like a complete retrospective.
This is year one.
No, God, this is like year two. Launched in 96.
I know, I'm joking.
God. No, the GameCube is going to launch in 2001. 2000, we're still going to have like a pretty good like stable of games we're going to talk about.
We still got 2 more years of this.
Yeah, we still got 2 more years of the N64. Damn. But so here's the thing. We still have Majora's Mask, Paper Mario. We still got like a couple of Mario parties. Mega Man Legends, like there's still like some recognizable stuff that's still gonna be
Sega
coming
Game
out.
Gears
Sega Game
Gear,
Sega Game, yeah. We'll be able to talk about the Game Boy Advance.
That's true. We already have a Pokemon show, but you know, we'll be able to talk about some fun shit with that.
Yeah, I mean, when it
this
becomes
whole, this whole thing has morphed into just a retro show.
Yeah, when it becomes 21 years old, it is retro. We will talk about it.
Yeah,
I
can't wait till the Wii is retro. I think that's gonna be fun.
We're trying to get Ripley and Mika to play Wii games, like all like the weird octopus of tech and inputs that you have to do to set those things up. Goddamn, it's going to be a pain in the ass. All to play, like, here, play Klonoa. Yeah. Tell us how it is.
I kid you not, today, I swear to God, somebody came into my store today and asked me if we sell Wii remotes.
Wow.
Yeah, in fucking Target. Someone was just like, do you have, you know, it's long and it's white and it's for the Wii? The Wii remote? Yeah. No. But you guys stopped selling those? Yeah, years ago.
Well, you're going to look at him like he's the idiot, and then he's going to point to you selling a Super Nintendo controller that can play on the Switch.
It's a GameCube controller, all right? It's for Smash, all right? I don't want
to... He's the moron. Meanwhile, you have a stack of Xbox Series X's that you're not allowed to sell.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a dragon in the back on top of him like it's his pile of gold. It's like, no, nobody touches him.
No.
For online customers only.
Oh my god.
So yeah, so there's still some stuff to talk about for the N64. But
what's my top 10 Mahjong games?
That'd be so good. Ogre Battle 64 is still coming out.
Can we pick a Mahjong game and actually just discuss it one time?
Yes.
Like, we joke about it. But let's just fucking
like have an hour-long podcast about the rules of Mahjong.
Yeah, it would take that long.
One of the top-rated games this year actually was that 51-game bundle that came out.
Like Clubhouse Games, yeah.
Yeah, that thing...
Just because of Mahjong. I mean, Mahjong carried that thing.
It's on there. So
and backgammon.
We could if you didn't want to just, and there is an actual, I was skimming through the deals, there was a Mahjong game for like $2. But on the Switch, want
to
show.
I think we might have to do this at some point next year.
We'll just have a Mahjong episode.
We're gonna figure out how to play Mahjong and then explain it to everyone.
So it's not that hard to play.
No, man. I know how to play Mahjong.
Me too.
I think it's impenetrable.
You match up the tiles.
I think it's
as long you have to match up the tiles as long as they are exposed.
Slow down, Jesus. Let me write this down.
And then you got the one with the little bird on it, and then you got the ones with the dots and lines.
There's animals?
Flower ones?
Yeah, there's like three different flower ones or something. It's wild, man.
Oh my god.
It's a good game. Shame you hate culture.
But what's the story? I need a narrative to tie it all together.
Oh, you hate narrative, dude.
Some kind of Warring Kingdom shit. I mean, it's just typical thing.
Okay. So, real quick, since this is a celebration of all things retro. I wanted to make one final point about the N64, and I keep getting sidetracked. After we get to May of 2001, it's pretty much going to be like cut off from all software, and there will be nothing until the GameCube launches in December or November of 2001. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have like a 4-month period where we're like, well, Game Boy Advance is really carrying the weight here.
I'm fine with talking about PC games, and like this is, I think we just celebrated the 20th anniversary of Diablo 2 coming out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we did. We talked about that.
Oh, I can
it's almost time for the retro.
I could have
my own. It's almost time to put on the retro show because it's almost 21.
Yeah. Like, I could do my own podcast on fucking Diablo 2. I'm about that shit.
Well, it's in the Pantheon, so we don't have to.
Yeah. But we could, though.
We could.
Yeah.
All right, well, there are some movies that came out in December of 1999. Just kind of give some cultural context here.
What we got?
The Green Mile.
Wow, that's who? Wow, I wouldn't want to see that before Christmas, but that is a great movie.
I would not want to see that one either. It's about a man getting executed.
Right.
And it is graphic.
Yeah.
Any Given Sunday, also another great Christmas movie.
It's football. It's football season, I'm sure, at the time.
I don't remember much about that movie, except it's Matthew McConaughey predicting sports games, or football games specifically, and... that's Two for the Money. I'm getting these movies confused. Given Sunday has Al Pacino, and he's a coach.
Yes. The least, you know, believable coach in football history has got to be Al Pacino.
Yeah.
He does not look like a football player, coach. He doesn't look like he understands the sport.
No, he's like 4'8". He's a tiny man.
Yeah. I vaguely... Is it Jamie Foxx in that, too? Am I thinking of a different movie?
God, I don't know.
I don't know the movie. I have no idea.
I probably
have not seen this movie in 20 years.
Considering how little either of us remember about it, we probably should just move on.
The Cider House Rules?
Yeah. Remember that one? Tobey Maguire. Spider-Man's in that.
Yep,
Don't know that movie.
It's kind of like in this sort of like
vein. Is Michael Caine in it too?
I think it's Michael Caine, yeah. Yeah. Because there was a stretch, you know, for a decent amount of time where like people were trying to like recreate the sort of... tone of something like Dead Poet Society, and like you see it in Cider House Rules, or God, there's another one, the King's Men, or that Emperor's Club, something like that. They have like one of those Klein, I forget his first name, Andrew Klein or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but, yeah,
kind of like school children being inspired by their teacher, and none of it really works.
Like Dangerous Minds or The Substitute with Less Killing.
Yeah. The Faculty. That's the one. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. That's got Elijah Wood in it.
Sure does. John Stewart.
That's a good movie. Yeah. He gets, like, much of his fingers cut off, too.
Yeah. That's, like, the scene where they rip the paper shredder, like, the blade off the paper shredder. It's like, this is my weapon now.
That's rank.
Yeah.
Listen to the cast, though, of fucking Cider House Rules. Yeah. This is all over the place. You get Tobey Maguire, of course. Charlize Theron. That's cool. Delroy Lindo, who is a famous black actor. Paul Rudd.
Get the fuck out of here. Famous white actor, Paul Rudd.
Michael Caine, of course. You also get Kieran Culkin.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
And from the world of hip-hop, Heavy D and Erykah Badu all found their way into this feature.
I recognize, like, two of those names.
You don't remember Kieran Culkin? He's the brother of
Macaulay
Culkin.
I'm so bad. Remember the kid and Walter from Scott Pilgrim? The roommate.
Oh, right.
That's Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
That's Macaulay Culkin's brother?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
His more talented brother, yeah.
Oh, but he's in... Like, I only, like, know Scott Pilgrim that he's in.
Well, you know, shut up.
Well, that's
fine. Galaxy Quest?
Oh, I love that movie.
That movie's great.
Yeah. Movie's a hoot. Oh, and got a favorite moment from Galaxy Quest? Anybody?
It's been a while since I've seen it.
There's so fucking many. I think one of my favorite, and it's not even that funny of a line, but he's like, who is the guy that plays Guy? Oh, I can't think of the actor's name.
Sam Rockwell.
Where he's like on the other end of the line, he's like, can you find a way to make a spear or a rudimentary glaive? And then at the other, he's like, it's a rock, it doesn't have any vulnerable spots. the subtle, let's get out of here before they kill Guy.
That's a good one. But, like, every character, and then of course, like, this movie's a parody. Sci-fi trope, specifically, something like Star Trek. But every character in the movie has, like, this arc that they're on. Of course, like, Tim Allen is the protagonist. He goes through, like, the biggest arc, like, from becoming this arrogant,
jaded, self-indulgent asshole.
To become like an actual leader. But like Sam Rockwell has this like extreme existential crisis because his function is like, I'm the guy who wears the specific color shirt. That means I'm gonna die. So
yeah,
like his name is Guy, just like this generic name. So you know he has this moment where he panics and kind of has to evolve this own sense of identity.
Yeah,
and it's pretty heavy shit for a silly movie about aliens, like not knowing what acting is.
Yeah. It's got
Alan Rickman.
There it is.
I knew who you were going.
Come on, Alan Rickman.
We just talked about Dogma a month or two ago, mm-hmm. too, man. So Alan Rickman was on a roll.
Yeah,
he has a great line too. And again, it's one of those ones where it's like this is not like a funny moment except for the way that he says it. But he's like, it's that part at the beginning where they're still waiting for Tim Allen's character to show up. Because he's always late.
Mm, yep.
And he's just sitting there, like, looking at himself in a mirror. He's like, I did Hamlet for 10 years. Look at me. It's like, stupid face shit. It's like, I'm sure in the script, if you're just looking at the words on paper, it's not like a moment or anything, but he makes it a moment with his just perfect delivery. Like, Tony Shalhoub is in it. Tony mm-hmm. Shalhoub's like the... he's an engineer, right? And he ends up hooking up with Selma Blair.
The squid alien, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking hot. Like, this movie's got everything. I had to get out of what am I saying? Because it looked at me funny.
It's like, yeah, you're into tentacle stuff. I mean, go for it. I mean,
hey, Shalhoub's into it. You know,
he's not on dudes, though. I'm not.
You know, you saw how happy he was. You're not going to deny him that.
The Hurricane, starring Denzel Washington. It's a boxing movie.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Nothing to say about it. Titus, starring Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think I saw it. That's Shakespeare, right? It's a telling of a story.
I want to watch Galaxy Quest now.
Like we're talking about like a biopic about a famous boxer and a Shakespearean adaptation. Let's watch Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, it's Alan Rickman. I'm on board.
Well, like the cast in that movie is just fucking great. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many great little memorable... like performances in it, so
man, it's like a sci-fi space romp. Like it's Guardians of the Galaxy before Guardians of the Galaxy. Like they were probably like riffing off of Galaxy Quest. Like, hey, this is the tone we want for our thing.
Yeah.
And the talented Mr. Ripley, starring Jude Law and one Matt Damon.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters, and I remember people got real uncomfortable when the gay making out session happened.
I mean, it was 1999.
Yeah.
As enlightened as we thought we were.
This is before Brokeback Mountain?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I watched that movie again. I don't know, it was probably a couple years back now. And by again, I mean, I think I watched it for the first time. I don't remember seeing this one back in the day. But, I don't know. It was fine. It wasn't really that interesting. Kind of like had this plodding pace to it. Anyway.
The gay makeout section was not...
I don't even remember when it happened. So clearly it didn't make an impact. Like, I do remember there are very strong, like, I don't want to call them homosexual tones because, like, he's a sociopath. So I don't think that there's any sort of, like, real human connection or attraction that's happening there. But the tones were there. I don't remember when it happened.
Yeah.
Probably before he murdered him. Spoilers. But...
I don't even know anything about the movie.
Jude Law gets murdered by Matt Damon.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the whole movie. That's just it.
Sure.
Yeah. So, we mentioned this movie's before Brokeback Mountain. People will.
Oh, by the way, Galaxy Quest, only acceptable Christmas movie.
Jingle All the Way?
It's not really a Christmas... No, for the movies you just said.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like, you got a week off from school, you know...
Just like, go watch two dudes make out.
And yeah, then get right. murdered. Yeah,
we don't have to leave school to do that.
Merry Christmas.
You don't want to watch fucking Titus or, you know, Any Given Sunday or whatever. No, you're going to want to go watch some Galaxy Quest.
Yep.
Be like, man, this is it's the fucking season.
And you think you're going to shut off your brain, but then you see Sam Rockwell have an existential crisis and the brain flicks back on. You get something edifying after, out of it.
Absolutely. Wait, who was the nerds in it, too? There was a...
Yeah, what's his face?
Simon Pegg?
No, he wasn't in
it. I'm just fucking around.
The from Dodgeball, you played the one guy that was a cheerleader.
Yeah, I can't think of this actor's name.
What's his
Justin
name?
Long. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think Justin Long and Martin Short are friends?
I hope so.
They better be. If they're not, we need to do something about this.
Ugh. So we're talking about the 90s and people being a little bit uncomfortable in the movie theater with the gay scene. And to reflect on the 90s as a whole, because as we mentioned, not quite as enlightened a time as we probably thought we were at the time, but there's still a lot of cool things that came out of the 90s. I just wrote down a few of them here. We watched the Hubble Space Telescope.
Nice.
Great.
That's great.
Yeah, great moment for exploring and discovery. The human genome was cracked. Great scientific discovery in genetics there. We cloned a Dolly the sheep. All of us specifically.
Yeah, we did
in this
it. Yeah,
room,
yeah
the
I
three
did.
Of us.
Yes. Yep. Sherlock was watching.
These are achievements on behalf of mankind.
Yeah.
Wait, they cloned a sheep?
Yeah, Dolly the sheep, first animal cloned.
Why don't we do that more?
There's actually a big thing right now about them doing like gene testing on children in China, and the world's kind of getting up in arms about it. Or, well, the, I don't know, the first world is kind of good.
I almost made a horrible joke that I could not take back ever, so I decided, yeah, I'm...
Please
I'm
tell happy. It now.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
I told my Tom Jones joke earlier, so I'll tell this one.
I was like, oh, good, cloning Chinese children, like, we need more of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
I mean, they pretty much load them in guns and shoot them at crowds and, like, football games over there.
I don't know t-shirt cannons. I don't know if they still have their one-child limit. I don't think they do. But that actually did cause, like, serious problems for the country of China, like, the one-child limit, because... At the time, everyone wanted a male child.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted a boy. And now, like, the male-to-female ratio is all out of whack in that country. And it's going to have some really devastating long-term effects for them.
Yep.
Guess you shouldn't have been such dicks.
Yeah.
So, where were we? Oh, cloning. Why don't we talk about China? Oh, because of their weird eugenics thing that they're doing.
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was they're even trying to do, but they're trying to, I think... I wasn't sure if they were trying to prevent diseases or if they were trying to enhance the human body in some way.
Mm.
But, yeah, a lot of people are upset about that.
I mean, it's like they've never seen a film. Like, of course it would go someplace bad.
Yeah. I mean, these are the people that literally just made a thing called coronavirus.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Like, in a
did
lab.
They make it?
Deliberately.
They manufactured it, just like Umbrella Corp. With their 5G network.
The most 5G towers. And then all these bats landed on it.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I think that's enough racist jokes
no,
for
it's
tonight.
Like,
I'd like to apologize straight out, because...
I apologize for nothing.
I
stand
by
everything. I
apologize, because Asian people are really cool.
Super spreader over here.
They're
talking.
Smarter than me.
I mean, that's a low bar.
I'm a stupid white American, all right? Yeah.
But it's like the thing with like having designer babies is like a child born with Down syndrome or autism. Like, are they any less deserving of living? Like, you go in there and you start tinkering with something. You're like, okay, well, these children have more value than these other ones. We want these ones more.
Yeah.
And then there's
there are human beings. They are lives. They're not corn crops.
Right.
They're you know,
deeply unethical to say like your child is not acceptable unless you have this kind.
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela was freed from prison in South Africa.
That's awesome.
And then elected president of that country that imprisoned him.
Yeah. Apartheid was brutal.
Yep. We know because we're living it.
Yeah.
There was the O.J. Simpson trial in the 90s.
That was a fucking thing, man.
Wow. Original reality TV.
Yeah. There's a, I believe it is it June 17th, 1994 is the day that the Bronco chase was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I think it was just July 17th. But anyway, there's a 30 for 30 documentary about it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love it because there's not a single word of narration over the whole thing. It is literally just all of the clips of stuff that happened that day. Because it was a very eventful day in the world of sports. That, of course, being the fucking star atop the tree, right? that was the big moment, but it was sort of like the master. I think it was Jack Nicklaus's last Masters. The Stanley Cup was just won by the Rangers, and they were doing their parade through that. The Olympics was happening. I'm trying to think of what, like, just all of this stuff was going down all at once. And then on top of that, you've got OJ hauling down the highway.
Mm-hmm. I was on a family vacation in the summer. My dad and my mom loaded the four of us into a van and drove up to New York and spent a couple of weeks up in New York and Vermont.
Is this the big brown van?
No, I don't think it was the big brown one.
Man, that van was awesome.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah, that's why it was awesome. But at some point, he gets rid of all the seats. Mm-hmm.
Well, he does that with, like, he's a contract painter now. Like, he,
yeah,
but then, he does, like, that with a lot of his vehicles. Eventually, like, no armchairs. Everyone's on the fucking floor. Tie yourself down with this rope.
This is really weird. It's like, why would you get rid of all the seats in your one van when you have four kids? I don't.
But he was trying to get away from us. I'm convinced. Like, he didn't want to be in the same vehicle.
What kind of van was this? How do we describe this van?
It was just a big cargo van.
Yeah, we had this big ass brown cargo van, and it had, like, three rows of seats or something ridiculous. And he just gets rid of all the fucking seats at one point. And they're not even in high school at the time. Like, what?
No. We were in elementary school.
Yeah, exactly.
This was like, what, 1994, you said. So I was 10.
Yeah. I was in middle school.
No, you were not.
This was your dad's?
No, you're younger than me.
You're I am younger than you.
Yeah, you're 22.
Give my years back. Give my years back.
Wait, this was your dad's van?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a pastor, right? Maybe he's carrying the love of God?
I just make more room for Jesus.
I'm just trying to think of, like, what was his reasoning behind this? What were the children sit?
I have no idea. No, but at that point, I think he had, like...
It was not safe, but we were around that thing constantly.
I think, like, at that point, he no longer had that brown van. No, at that point. No longer had the cargo van. I think at that point, he... No. I'm trying to, like, remember my parents' vehicle history. But now, like, at a certain point... Like, here's a thing that happened in the 90s and 2000s for all the kids listening. There was a thing called a Tropic Traveler van. And this thing was not a minivan. And it wasn't a full-size cargo van either. It was this weird thing in the middle. And it was, like, the thing that you, like...
It was tall, right?
Yeah, it was tall. It wasn't an RV. It wasn't an RV or anything like that. Yeah. But, like, you get inside, and, like, there's two captain chair and then a back chair and, like, some cargo space in the back. And he had one of those for a while,
too. Yeah, we had that, too.
And they're such bizarre vehicles because they probably get, like, shit gas mileage, but...
And they're just awkward. I mean, yeah. I would hate to drive one of those nowadays. Mm-hmm. That just seems awkward. But we had the TV and the VCR in the van.
Yeah, there's the built-in, like, mounted TVs, and you play your VHS cassettes.
Yeah.
It was 1999, baby.
Oh, man, that was... We made road trips with that, with the dog, my yellow Labrador, just in the middle area between the two captain seats. From Florida to Pennsylvania.
Oh, that sounds awful.
We did that.
Yeah. I think we made the drive up to New York and Vermont twice. And then after that, I think my dad just, like, refused to do it anymore because it's a terrible, terrible drive.
Oh, yeah. It's a bad day. Bad days.
Yep.
Okay, so I got some events. Unless you're going
to... Oh, yeah, no, please.
For whatever reason, they're kind of listing off some very tragic ones, but...
All right.
Timothy McVeigh was responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing.
Mm.
That happened. I think that was an attack, by the way, on a federal building. It killed like 200 people.
Yeah, that was a terrorist attack.
Yep. The Columbine shooting. Shootings are so prevalent now. Shit. I think that was a really jarring moment to think that, you know, two kids could brandish assault rifles. And their death toll is surprisingly low. I think they only killed like 9 people, including themselves. When you think of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, I think 19 people died. That Las Vegas shooter took out like 150 people or something. It's disgusting. Pulse, 5 miles from here, or 10 miles from here, right? That was a death toll of about 60 people. Dylan Roof shot like 9 black people in a church. The Pittsburgh shooting that happened to last year. Like, holy shit. We have so many shootings now that they like cease to have meaning.
Mm.
You know, but Columbine, you know, the Aurora shooting happened. Right? The Connecticut shooting, the guy that shot all those kids. Like, all of these mass shootings happen. It sucks.
There should be guns. And then that's kind of like the first moment where, like, hey, this is a thing that actually can happen.
Yeah.
I like how we keep this show nice and light.
And then I go in on that. Sorry, guys. Let's move on to something a little lighter. God. The Waco siege happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a bizarre group of fundamentalist Christians, who are not really Christians. I wouldn't consider what they are as Christians, but the Branch Davidian, got in trouble with the federal government for manufacturing weapons. And their compound was raided. And again, I think the death toll was like 100 people. Some federal officers, but mostly just the people that were living there in this cult, including children. Really shitty scene. Really bad that we had to have the federal government step in on civilians. But when they're doing that, I mean, you can't. You know, this is a little lighter and a little bit more dick sucking, but the Monica Lewinsky scandal happened.
Oh, yeah. Bill Clinton got a blowy and then impeached for it.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And looking back on it, man, it really is so shitty for Monica Lewinsky to have to deal with all that. She's just like some 20-something intern, right?
Yeah.
She's just sucking the dick of a famous guy and probably having a blast doing it, right? And then suddenly she's now the face of blowjobs. Mm. Something that almost all women and a handful of men do, too. Like, really can't judge her for that.
Yeah, sucks. Yeah. It's kind of like the situation where, you know, everyone, like, got the wave, like, wagged the finger at Bill Clinton, like, hey... You cut that out.
And her entire existence got nuked.
Yeah.
From orbit.
Yeah, yeah. And she was the victim.
Yeah. It's wild. That scenario would absolutely not play out today. I think that's what the whole Me Too movement would...
Unless Trump did it, and then everyone would just move
Trump
on.
Trump did fucking do it. Of course. Stormy Daniel made fun of his dick, so that's... You know, I guess that
it's probably Marco...
One hand washes the other, as they say.
It was probably Marco Rubio that did it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck geez. That guy.
Yeah. Here, okay, this is some genuinely positive stuff, right? But, like, Nickelodeon happened.
Oh, yeah.
Think of all the great Nickelodeon shows that we grew up
on. Wait, is it started in 99?
I think it started in the 80s, but, like, this is, like, peak
Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah, we had...
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, throughout the 90s.
We had,
when cable TV really was a bigger thing than it is now. Mm.
We had shows like Hey Arnold, and we had all that.
Rugrats.
Hey Dude.
Kazam.
And Pete and Pete.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh.
All that, Roundhouse.
Dexter's Laboratory.
I think that was Cartoon Network.
It was, but still, I'm very fond of Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah. It's on HBO now. I'm going to show it to Megan one of these days.
Oh, you better. Oh, do it now.
She's asleep, motherfucker.
Wake her up.
We're going to watch Dexter's Laboratory right now. Get out of bed. Like throwing her off the top of her bunk bed. Get out there. Watch this show.
Furbies, Tamagotchi.
I didn't know Furbies are still a thing.
Yeah.
They're still out there. I don't know why.
Beanie Babies? I remember Beanie Babies had like stores in the mall and shit. Malls were a thing.
Yeah, remember mall? Remember movie theaters? Remember all these things?
Yeah, it was Hallmark had their own little stores and they had the whole big Beanie Baby section.
Mm. Yeah.
Just tons of them.
The TY brand. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast and I can't remember which one it was, but they were just talking about like shutting everything down and like having to like do all this like online shopping and stuff and like having to go to like smaller stores here and there because they can't go to malls anymore, and like how malls are eventually going to disappear, but then it's all going to be cyclical and all come back, and then someone will say like, hey, we should take all of the stores that we have to go to and then just put them in one building.
This is a Battlestar Galactica thing. Like, this happened before, it will happen again. Like, yeah. This is going to be one of those things.
It's like we were talking about with streaming services a couple of weeks back. Eventually, someone's going to bundle them all together, and we'll be in our 60s, and all the kids will be like, we can bundle all of our streaming services together. And I'm like, yeah, that was cable. We did that. And then we got sick of it.
Well, there was a kind of experiment, and I don't think it went all that well because of, you know, construction issues, but like there's the Fashion Square Mall, which was sort of a dying mall in Orlando, and they were building on residential housing to it with the idea that it would revitalize the mall. People would like that, you know, they could kind of just walk through their condo complex and then they're inside of the thing, but you know, I think that kind of flamed out.
They did it over in Winter Park, too, like, years and years ago, where they had, like, those loft house, like, units.
Yeah.
Like, above, like, a fucking Cheesecake Factory or something.
Yeah, all over that whole little, like, Winter Park shopping area. And again, what was the big anchor that made all of that happen?
That movie theater.
A movie theater.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so that's a thing, huh?
Yep, sure is. How the world used to be.
Do you guys have, like, a 90s-est media thing, like maybe a movie? I know a movie comes to mind that I'm like, that's the 90s fucking movie I got in my mind.
Good Burger.
Can't Hardly Wait.
That's a good one. Clueless.
Yeah, Clueless is a good one.
Clueless is very much of its time. Yeah, but
it still holds up.
Good Burger too. Good Burger feels like the fucking 90s.
It does.
Good Burger's a great movie.
It is.
It's a great movie.
Top shelf.
Before we do some movies though, do you guys remember where you were when the OJ verdict came in?
I was in third grade, yeah. I was in school.
I fucking know.
You were probably not. Yeah, you might not have been in school.
I was a wee little lad.
But I was in I was in school as well. And you do that every time you say that you're a wee lad. You always have a weird, vaguely Irish accent.
I am. I do have Irish in me.
Okay.
So at least I'm not being racist.
So I was in class, and look, we actually watched the verdict come through on like the on the TV in the class, and of course, like we're in like the suburbs of Orlando. It's especially at the time a very white place. So the sort of like narrative, the public opinion was like, oh yeah, this guy definitely fucking did it.
Yeah.
And, like I was in second or third grade, so I didn't have a perspective on like the nuance of like, yeah, he did it, but those cops were definitely racists.
Oh yeah, like again, you have to acknowledge that Mark Furman tried to plant evidence.
Mm.
Like, I mean, and again, it puts you in such this moral ambiguity. Where
and
it's
you can't do that. Like,
yeah.
Even if that guy is the killer, you can't plant evidence. And like, especially like more like he thought he could get away with that sort of thing because he'd probably done it before, and because O.J. Simpson is black.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like it would not have flown as well. Like there wouldn't have been as much like. Contesting the fact that he planted evidence if O.J. Simpson was a white man. It would be like, hey, no, you're a bad cop. You shouldn't do that to this guy. But anyway, I was... So generally, everyone in the classroom pretty much assumed that O.J. Simpson did it. We're all 9 years old. What the fuck do we know? Except there was this one girl. There was this one girl who was like, no, he didn't do it. There's no way he did it. None of us knew who the fuck O.J. Simpson was. But she was convinced that, like, no, he didn't do this thing. And the not guilty verdict came in, and she, like, stands up in the middle of class and raises her hands, yes! And everyone else is like, all right, whatever. Do we have homework today? Let's not have homework today.
Jeez.
The only memory I have like that was 9/11.
Someone was cheering?
No.
Oh,
God.
God. Jesus.
Was it U.S.?
Yes.
No, walking into school and us turning the TV and watching this shit happen and everything.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
And they're having children watch it.
You don't do this at in sixth grade at like 8 in the morning. Like, you just don't...
Mm.
No, you don't do that.
Oof. By the way, O.J. Simpson was the first player in NFL history to run for 2,000 yards in a single season.
Mm.
It's only been accomplished 7 times.
Does it list the other 7?
Yeah, I got it.
Hang on.
A couple, some are recent.
Barry Sanders?
Right.
Emmitt Smith?
No.
Oh.
Emmitt Smith, I think, has the record for most 1,000-yard seasons. I think he's got, like, 15,000-yard seasons or some shit.
Walter Payton?
No.
I'm out.
Some modern guys that did it would be Adrian Peterson.
Oh, okay.
Chris Johnson, Jamal Lewis goes back to 2003, and they're getting into some older guys like Terrell Davis and Eric Dickerson back in 84. OJ did it in 73. Hmm. That was a while ago.
Sure was.
Yeah, and by the way, there's a conspiracy theory going around, and I can lend some credence to it. I can maybe see how this is the case, where if OJ didn't directly murder the two of them, it could be that it was his older son, or his son, that found the two of them, killed them both, and he covered for them.
Hmm.
Because there's this confusing thing about his son's whereabouts at the time this occurred. So it could just sort of be that he was trying to...
I really need to take a whiz. Anyway, I don't think we need to spend any more time on the O.J. Simpson trial. There are a couple of more things.
I lost the plot. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
That's okay.
They need to make a musical for it.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, maybe a little bit more time passed. Like, a man's son and daughter were murdered. So...
Well, you know what ended up being a footnote to that whole thing is that O.J. Simpson literally went to jail for another crime.
Yeah.
He ended up, I think, strong-arming somebody for a bunch of his old sports memorabilia.
Mm.
And then got put in jail for a couple of years over it.
Yeah, he did serve some time.
Yeah.
So, the euro was adopted by the European Union.
Good for that.
Bringing a more continental economy there, as opposed
great,
to all these
Great British pound is still going strong, though.
The only thing continental I enjoy is my breakfast.
I do enjoy a muffin.
Oh, Wes, that was so awesome. Continental breakfast, by the way, is the shit, man. Those things are fucking real.
The first Harry Potter book was published in the 90s.
Yeah, that's a while, man.
What was the first one?
Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay.
The Philosopher's Stone.
Was that what it's called in Europe?
Yeah.
That seems like something.
No, it's called Sorcerer's Stone.
In America, they changed the title.
Is it Philosopher's Stone?
Yeah, it's not Philosopher's Stone.
Sure is.
Why would he make that up?
I don't know.
What does he stand to gain?
It's been years since I read the books.
Again, you know, but Brian, we're gonna have to.
Dear Google,
edit here because I need you to push up your glass and say, actually.
Oh, books. Actually, Philosopher's Stone, Harry Potter.
Did you? God damn it! You guys did your parents have like a Y2K stash of like batteries and toilet paper?
No. I'm sure your dad did.
He sure did, and bottled water.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I was planning on just going over to your place.
Jeez. Which, of course, turned out to be nothing, because it's real dumb.
The only thing of Y2K I remember is I did stay up for New Year's,
mm-hmm.
but the reason being was the Dexter's Laboratory movie premiered on TV, and I was like, I must watch this. And so I'm watching this as I'm like, oh, it's past midnight. We're still alive.
But, like, describing... Like, because it was like a legitimate thing where people were maybe not panicking, but at least there were probably some people who panicked. But there's a general fearfulness of what was going to happen to all of the computers when the year got changed over from 99 to 00, because there's some sort of thought that like, it would cause computers to crash because they don't know how to handle two fucking zeros. And of course, it all turned out to be nothing. It was all just a bunch of shit.
Like, alarmist nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking back on it, it's so quaint what we were afraid of.
Right.
Remember, we thought sharks were scary, like killer bees. We were worried about killer bees.
I mean, there's still killer bee panic every once in a while.
Right? But it's just like, there's all of the horrible things that have happened in modern society.
The only really bee panic we got right now is the bees dying out.
Yeah, now we're more worried about the bees dying than we are.
I do have some good news, though. Last time, I think in last study I saw was from... 2018, but the bee population is again on the rise.
So, oh, okay.
At least they
say that about the manatee. We cover a lot of local shit here in Florida on our podcast, but you know, they say that there's more manatee alive now than there ever were because of the conservation.
Oh, good. So we got to take some of them out.
It recently moved from the endangered out. To threatened category in like the national federal classification of species status. Also, the I think it's the white wolf moved from the endangered to the threatened category.
Are manatees at all threatening? Like a hippopotamus? Like, you look at that thing, you're like, that's not threatening. And then it just murders people. Like,
no.
Manatees,
they are. Oh, manatees, they are golden. They're little sweethearts.
Unless
they're
playing the long game.
Yeah. Smother you. At midnight tonight, we all take a human body and smother them in their sleep.
Sorry. For some reason, the manatees playing the long game there.
But yeah, like one day, like one of my children might ask me, like, "Hey, what the fuck was Y2K all about?" And I'm gonna say, first of all, don't say that at school yet. And second of all, it was some real fucking bullshit. Yeah. Like, I just started. We were all terrified that computers would freak out and the world would shut down because it became January 1st, 2000.
Planes would fall out of the sky. All the nuclear warheads on the planet would suddenly go off.
So what we did is we stashed water and batteries.
Yes.
And watched Dexter's Lab on TV. Well,
I think it's indicative of how fast technology moved in the 90s.
Hmm.
Like, there were some really major leaps, things we now take for granted, like the internet, cell phones. Like, those are like two core components of American existence now, I feel like. And we were kind of just figuring them out. Like, dial-up was a thing? Like, holy shit, dial-up? Now, like, we get pissed if our, you know, like, 4K movie isn't streaming. Or if it has to buffer for a second.
Yeah, back in the day, we had to walk into a Blockbuster to get our AOL free minutes disc and put them into our disk drive on our computer.
My God.
The lengths we went to, man. We were desperate for that internet back in the day.
We needed that AOL Instant Messenger chat.
Oh, God.
To visit our Resident Evil 2 message boards.
Oh, man. X-Files and Simpsons and South Park. None of that's technology. I'm just naming things.
That was just is pop culture. We already talked about the Super Nintendo and how it refined 2D games and how the N64 blew it all up.
Tupac and Biggie got shot.
Tupac and Biggie. God, what a fucking schizophrenic time the 90s was. Because, like, music. You had Tupac, you had Biggie, yes. The Spice Girls, you had the Spice grunge Girls, movement yeah. with Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins, Cranberries, MC Hammer.
Like, Green Day released Dookie in the same year that Weezer released the Blue Album, 1994. Like, 1994 alone was one of the best years in music history. Like, it's that decade of music was so diverse. And it was still, I think, at that time where an album would come out and it would be, like, a touchstone moment for a lot of people. Like, it would capture a lot of eyes and ears. People would pay attention to it. And it doesn't really seem to happen that much anymore. It's weird to find an artist that really gets mass appeal. Everyone's kind of got their niche thing. You know, like
this great diversification, and then everything started fragmenting.
Like, it'd be weird if somebody didn't know like who Nirvana or the Spice Girls were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nowadays it's sort of like, you know, can you name the hot? Unless they're gonna be like doing a fucking Super Bowl halftime show, like they're probably not an artist that everyone kind of is in with anymore. Like, I don't know, everyone probably knows, like, Taylor Swift and Kanye West.
Yeah, you're able to be more selective about the things you want to listen to and watch and engage with.
You know, hey, they're, we should be happy that we have more options and that we can kind of narrow down our own interests and stuff. But I do kind of miss the mass appeal effect.
Yeah, you don't have, like, there's not as many shared experiences. And when there are shared experiences, they're fucking tragedies. Like a global pandemic or a global recession or a second global recession. Yeah.
See, like, 21 years from now when we're talking about this on that podcast, we're going to be sitting there talking about 2020 and be like, overall, the only thing really to discuss is COVID. Like, nothing really great came out.
We all had to sit in our houses and play video games.
Yeah, it's just going to be the most boring thing to reflect upon.
Animal Crossing happened.
Animal Crossing happened. But it's going to be the most boring thing to reflect upon.
I mean, Donald Trump was impeached this year.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that wild.
This has been the longest year in the history of years.
It's true. Oh my God. Like, it's crazy to reflect on all of the shit that's gone down. It's like a slow motion car accident, but it's like that car then turned into many other cars that then crashed into other cars.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Fucking nuts.
But we'll reflect on 2020 in the next show.
What will happen, though, is there's going to be, you know, there will be fallout for the next decade because of this Trump administration. And then probably in 2 decades, there's going to be law classes dedicated to the Trump administration.
You know, can only hope.
Yeah. Where they just break down all of the various crimes that occurred and all that shit. And I'm hoping that there's I hope there's a Martin Luther-esque, you know, someone's going to nail the 99 theses to the wall of the church or whatever and say this is not acceptable behavior in government.
Yep.
But we'll see. We'll see if that happens.
But some movies.
Movies.
Titanic.
Yeah, that was a
thing. I thought we already did movies.
We did movies that came out in December. This is just 90s.
Just the 90s in general.
I picked a handful of movies from the 90s in general.
Probably Jurassic Park.
Titanic, Clerks, American Beauty, Fight Club, Goodfellas, Jurassic Park, Pulp Fiction, The Matrix, Blair Witch, Toy Story, Scream, Saving Private Ryan.
Huge. Same part, Ryan.
What a fucking manic lineup of movies that came out.
I would like to know, where in the Disney line? Because I feel like something probably came out in 89, but you probably got something like Aladdin and Lion King. Lion King for sure was a 90s
one. Yeah, Aladdin was also in the 90s.
You got Beauty and the Beast was for sure a 90s one. You're coming up on maybe Little Mermaid?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's the second golden age of Disney right there.
Mm.
Some amazing films came out. Brother Bear.
Like, it's like this fascinating dichotomy of a decade where it's like got all this optimism but yet all this angst as well. There's a complacency with a lot of social and entertainment issues, but there's also like this really great irreverence to a lot of the systems and social norms that are in place.
You joke about it, but you always say, like, oh, it was the 90s. We had everything figured out.
Yeah.
It felt that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
It really did.
And then until we found out we didn't. We didn't have a social struggle or social movement. And then we fucking got one, and God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that, then, you know, and again, I think that's the thing that defines. It's almost like the year 2000 is this sort of this nebulous event. And then 2001 happens, and of course, when you say 2001, you think of the September 11th attacks, which then leads into kind of modern America.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was kind of the last of the golden days. I hate to, it sounds so sad, but...
No, no, we're it's really... Fun. It's good that the 90s are over and that we're able to address things, because the problems we have now are problems we had then, but we just didn't recognize them.
Yeah, that's true.
We, as a general, like, the black people who were getting beat up by the cops recognized the problem. We, as a society in general, now recognize them.
Like the Rodney King beating.
Mm-hmm.
The LA riots happened and nothing really came of it. You know?
Yeah. So here's another lousy millennium.
Yeah.
Futurama! Right.
But how the fuck do you think Will Smith has the balls to call it the Willennium?
Mm.
He just takes it.
I mean,
500 years from now, I'm gonna be like, "Oh, sorry, Bill, Will fucking
Will Smith was fucking huge."
You've seen the Wild Wild
like,
West,
yeah? I mean,
oh yeah, and his movies alone, like fucking Independence Day, was big. Men in Black was for real.
He was the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah, that's saying something.
And now he's coming out with stuff like Gemini Man.
I think it's pronounced Gemini Man.
Oh, Gemini Man.
Racism.
So it's a holiday special.
Yeah.
And I am Santa this year.
What?
So I've gotten you guys gifts.
Aww.
Wes, this is for you. This is a digital code for Hades.
Oh, nice.
Good deal.
Very nice. Yeah. Thank you. I was actually just about to pick this up.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. It's,
no, it's free.
It's been bugging me. I'm like, oh, I really
Fortnite
need
virtual
to try
currency?
This out.
Do I get Fortnite virtual currency?
Oh, V-Bucks? Do you get V-Bucks?
Yay!
You
people
can get
will
all
leave
this...
me the fuck alone about V-Bucks in the store? Oh my god. You can get all of the virtual skins you want. This is an eShop gift card. It does have a specific purpose, though. But the game that I wanted to get you is not out until the 23rd, so they wouldn't sell me digital. They couldn't sell me digital code. So I went into a GameStop for the first time in like
yeah,
7 years.
Yeah, that's weird, dude. I saw the GameStop on this receipt you handed me. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Nintendo doesn't, and they should. This is something that they need to change. I cannot gift eShop games like from my Switch to yours. I can't just like I'm buying this for someone else, download it on their Switch. I guess maybe like there's like a reason you wouldn't want to like load a rated M.
Yeah, that's probably
like a kid's,
a yeah, that's,
kid's
like, that's a good thought.
But I can't get a digital code from Nintendo. If I go to their storefront, it's like, okay, you're buying this game for yourself. I can't buy a game for another person.
I'm sure people would then find like the worst possible gift giveable, like that horse boyfriend game, maybe.
Best gift possible. What are you talking about?
You know, the dad dating sim.
Also, Gem.
Yeah.
Wonderful game.
That Ku Klux Klan role-playing game.
That was a little iffy.
Yeah. You didn't like the battle system. That's your only problem with it.
The battle system? I think it had a compelling story, though.
Oh, shit.
Black Klansman came on TV the other day. I wanted to watch it, but I didn't have time.
It was a pretty fun movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't seen it.
It was alright.
I want to though.
I watched a bit of it of him in the records room just getting angry at everybody.
So I went into a GameStop, right?
Yeah.
I'd never been in, it's been 7 years since I bought my Yoshi 3DS. And I went into that exact same GameStop and like, yeah, I just want to get some digital codes for Switch. And of course, you know, I got like, oh, renew your membership and it'll pay for itself and this and that. Like, no, that's okay. And I felt bad telling this person over and over again, like, no, I'm never coming back here. Because she's just doing her job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so I didn't want to be mean about it, but I was happy to leave. So I got you this eShop card because the game that it is for is not out until the 23rd, and they couldn't get me the digital code either. So, and I wrote the name of the game on here. It is Super Meat Boy Forever.
Oh, very good.
And it is super spelled SOOPRMEETBOI. I intentionally spelled every word wrong, just in case I spelled a word wrong, so it looks intentional.
Well, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And so now you can't make fun of me for being illiterate.
Yeah.
I mean, your notes there really are just pictures. They're just doodles.
Well, what was the Always Sunny joke? A worm hat? Anyway.
Oh shit, they're stickers.
Oh yeah, Pepe Sylvia. Remember he thinks it's Pepe Sylvia is the one that's like this trying to steal everyone's mail, but because yeah, he keeps right. getting all the letters and it's Pennsylvania.
Ah, what a great show.
Yes.
Truly, everybody's wondering where all their mail's been.
So, yeah. Christmas, hooray.
I didn't get you. Oh, man.
We agreed last year that I was Santa this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I did. I don't remember that shit at all.
I think I got you guys some games last year.
You did, yeah. You got me inside.
So, I guess I'm up for next year.
Yeah, seems like it.
So, I have a year to get you guys something. Okay. Yeah.
I'd say keep an eye on those eShop sales, but Nintendo won't just let you buy a code.
No, so, apparently not.
We really should save it for the actual like official show, but I did get a game that is very 90s aesthetic called Paratopic.
Oh, nice.
And it's a hoot, man. We got to talk about that game.
The official show will be up next week, and we can talk about Paratopic as well as like Superliminal. Me and Wes talked about it a little bit, but I feel like you're more positive on much more positive on the game than we are. I thought it was pretty cool.
You didn't like it?
It was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Oh, well, like, it's not a game that I would own.
But yeah, we'll do a nice big...
Put me in my place, why don't you?
We'll do a nice big retrospective on all of the games that we find interesting for 2020 in general. I'm actually looking at trying to find the release date for Paratopic right now. It looks like it was initially released in 1998.
Two months ago. Yeah.
Okay. but that was like the Steam release date.
Oh, yeah. It came out on PC a couple years ago. But it's now, it came out on the Switch, I think, in November, maybe October.
You can get it now for $3.29. What a deal that is.
I sure did. And yeah, it is worth that and then some.
So here's the Nintendo. After this, we got this one.
All right, hand me the thing.
Paratopic is probably the most important first-person game this year. That is a quote from someone called Waypoint.
Now, when they say this year, do they mean this year or 98?
Good question. 2018, not 1998. 2018.
That's what. Okay, I was about to say.
It looks like it came out.
You got caught smuggling VHS tapes across the border, and now there's hell to pay. You want to find an elusive rare bird in the forest and snap its picture. You have to kill a man in the back room of a shady diner. You know. Okay. This is Paratopic, an experimental first-person horror game named by Rock Paper Shotgun as one of the best games of 2018, and by Fact Magazine, remember magazines, as having one of the best top 10 soundtracks of the year. Bullet points.
Technically, those events do happen. It has nothing to do with.
I was about to say
any of that.
What the fuck does AI have to do with anything?
those are very like shotgun blast different things. Yeah, this one came out in August of 2020. Let me go ahead and put that on the list now since I have a file open. But yeah, next up is the official show.
I'm not kidding. I might need about like a solid 15-20 minutes to really get into what this game is.
That's totally fine with me.
Oh, it's a trip.
But yeah, we'll talk about all these games, and then we will wrap up the year and start it all up again with the Pokemon show in January. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Peace out, Boy Scout.